And our New Testament reading is from Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear family and friends of Judy Bradyway and Jesus Christ, a couple of weeks ago, I came across a poem by Donald Hall. He had written the poem 5 years after his wife, Jane Kenyon, had died. And Jane Kenyon was also a poet, a very great poet. But in this poem by Paul, he says a number of things as he remembers Jane's death. And I'm going to take two stanzas. Here's the first stanza. You think their dying is the worst thing that could happen. Then they stay dead. You think the dying is the worst thing that can happen. Then they stay dead. Now, for many people, that summarizes our existence. We've come to a wall with no door. End of story. Donald Hall does not finish his poem with this stanza. He has several other stanzas, and it concludes with this one. The Boston Red Sox win 100 straight games. The mouse rips the throat of a lion, and the dead return. The Boston Red Sox win 100 straight games. The mouse rips the throat of a lion, and the dead return. There, Hall sounds a note that is present in every Christian funeral, the note of hope. But these two stanzas capture what is in fact always held in tension when we gather to bury someone. There is both tears and songs. There's both despair and hope. There is both a sense of hopelessness and a great longing for God's action. You know, we live our lives, we are all acquainted with sadness and grief and happiness. But the fact of the matter is, when we are born, we enter into a valley that is shadowed by death. And it is simply a fact that all of us, we are all familiar with losses and with disappointments and with great grief. It's simply the way things are. Amidst all of the beauty, it sometimes mocks us, it seems, for we feel so alone, so disappointed in ourselves. The fact of the matter is, however, and this is, of course, what we want to see, what defines us is not our misery, not our disappointments. What defines us is what the Apostle Paul here says in Philippians, that we are citizens of heaven, that our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, we are a people who belong not only to the United States and have our citizenship in this country, but more importantly, and more defining, more to the very core of our being, is the fact that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus Christ, that we are part of his commonwealth. That's one of the older translations. We have our commonwealth in heaven. And from this commonwealth, from this Jesus, this one who redeemed us, who stands at the very center of God's world, at the center of his Father's throne, from there we expect, Paul says, that he will come and that he will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to him. So this Jesus Christ, the one to whom we belong, in whom we find our identity, he comes again, he is to appear, and to make all things, the unruly, the wicked, the tragic, make all things heal, bow, and confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. Did you know that this business of this text, which speaks of Jesus coming as a Savior and transforming our bodies, that this text very much reflects the sentiments of Psalm 96. And this week, preparing for this little meditation, I learned that Psalm 96 is used in the church either on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. For Psalm 96 celebrates and calls all of creation to have the forest sing with joy and to have the sounds of the oceans roar with gladness because a judge is coming who will put things right, who will remove the stain with which our creation and our souls are stained. Now, Paul has this really interesting thing about him transforming our bodies of our humiliation into bodies of Christ's glory. And that really has made me think a lot these last several days about what it really means when Paul talks about the body of our humiliation. I mean, he's talking about us. We are still in the body of our humiliation. And it's not an easy thing to say as to what precisely Paul means, and even the translations vary. In some translations, it simply says, earthly bodies. Others say, humble bodies, to be transformed into the splendor of Christ's body. Other translations, older ones, have vile bodies. I don't think, that doesn't sound right. I don't think Judy would agree with that. What's interesting and to me revealing is that this word translated humiliation is the same word that the mother of Jesus, Mary, uses when she says that she is a handmaiden of the Lord, of low estate. Low estate. Now, Mary undoubtedly meant to refer to her insignificance, being someone from Galilee, out of the sticks, from a known town, Nazareth. Her poverty, her simplicity. But the word low estate, our bodies being of low estate, suggests more than simply poverty or of being a well-known person. It speaks to our frailty, our weakness. I mean, Judy was, you are, I am, we are susceptible to disease, to temptations, certainly to death. Lowly bodies. Judy was familiar with the weakness of the body. You know, I remember somebody else saying that one of her favorite texts in all the Bible was a text from Psalm 103, where it says, you know, that it begins with that, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget any of the things that he has done for you. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." But it also says, "He knows that we are made of dust." He knows us. He's able to look beyond the cruel weaknesses and frailties and see us. And I think Judy, her passion for creation, her passion for justice, and the difficulties she experienced, the falls. It's hard for most of us to fully understand how much grief she experienced. And how much grief her family experienced. What always amazed me with Judy is that though she tried hard to stay the course, she would fall. But after the fall, she would rise and she would come back to church and sing in the choir and be active in the creation care work of the church. She would always rise again. You know, there's a very, very famous, at least for me, verse in one of the prophets which says, "Oh, my enemy, do not rejoice against me when I fall, for when I fall, I shall rise again." And Judy rose again. She'd fall and she'd rise again. And it's very much the same with all of us. I mean, Judy's no exception there. I mean, look, last Sunday you confessed that you were sorry for your sins. This coming Sunday, you'll confess that you're sorry for having done them again. I mean, in some sense, we're all addicts. "Hi, I'm Jack, and I'm a sinner. And I make promises that I break all the time. I want to be much better than I am." You are, I'm thinking, very much the same. I was talking to Carol, my wife, about this all, and she has this workshop called Coloring Out the Darkness, and she has maybe 6, 10, 12 women, always women, not that men don't have darkness, but they just don't share like women do. But they'd come together, and then they begin to start calling out the darkness, and they start talking about the darkness in their lives. Carol begins, and then that sets everyone else. And Carol was saying, just recently she had a woman her age, Judy's age, 70 years old, and she was saying that years ago, when her daughter, one of her daughters, was still maybe 10, 12 years old, she had an accident. And it's seriously head injury. And the woman said, you know, I think it had ramifications that we were simply not aware of, because she was never quite the same. And in high school, she made bad decisions. And then when she was out of school, she kept making bad decisions. And she did things that I was ashamed of. And she said, I was weeping one day, weeping. And she said, this is her phrase, I was praying myself into exhaustion. When a word came from God, I swear it was from God, that said, leave her moral failings to me. And she says, it was such a comfort. Leave the disappointments with yourself to God. He is able to transform them or to blow them away with the breath of kindness. He promises that those who profess his name, that they will have a transformation that none of us can fully imagine. It will be a transformation where our bodies, these bodies of our humiliation, these bodies of low estate, these fragile, weak, vulnerable bodies will assume the splendor and the glory of Christ. C.S. Lewis says, if you were to see you now as you are to be then, you would fall down in worship. We as a people, we come with our failures and our successes, and we say, but ultimately, my identity lies in this, that my citizenship is in heaven, and that I belong to Jesus Christ, and that he will make all things new. And therefore, let creation begin singing now. And let me and my friends and my family and my congregation, let them begin singing now to the victory that will come, to the renewal that is promised. See, here's the final thing. You must not think of religion. We mustn't ever think of religion as simply the bringing of rules that if you measure up, you will be welcomed at the table. No, Christianity is not a religion in that sense. Christianity is news. News that a Savior came. And that coming to him, you may well, for the very first time, experience unconditional love and unconditional grace and unconditional hope. Let no one, let nothing rob us of this citizenship. That Judy, that all those who are baptized are promised. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.